Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Those watching on Rumble, please like and follow. That helps us a lot. Those that are subscribers, you might not realize it, but today is episode 170. I was kind of shocked as I was writing my notes and putting episode number 170. Anyway, thank you so much for allowing me to do this. Thank you for being a faithful contributor and helper in our mission to wake the troops and encourage people to be faithful to do the things God has put them on this earth to do. And I want to thank you. I was looking back over all the different episodes on different platforms and realized God's allowed us, because of your support, to reach millions of people with these Agenda Weekly podcasts. And I'm so grateful, because you never know which ones listen to one episode and thought, oh, I need to do this, or I need to change this, or now I understand this, or whatever. But you all have a part in that, and I just want to thank you so much for that. I'm on the road again down in Florida right now, and we're celebrating my father's 90th birthday. And I just have been reflecting on life, and what a vapor it is, and just the important lessons of life that I've learned. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, because I think America is collapsing because we haven't passed down. We haven't shared the nuggets of wisdom and truth and understanding that we've learned in our life. Many of us have forgot them along the way, to have to relearn them again the hard way. And I don't want any of you to have that happen. And a lot of you young people that watch this, homeschoolers and things, please listen to the words I say. I'm just going to share a few stories and a few things from my life, but things I've learned from the Bible, from being around wise people that have helped my life be much more successful and purposeful. It has caused me to be so blessed in so many of the things I've done, because I've tried to do it God's way and tried to be wise in the decisions I made. But I want to encourage you that in being purposeful. So this week is lessons learned from the book of life. But thank you so much for joining me. I've got to tell you something funny before we get started, but I just recorded this entire episode and did all the stuff, and then found on the computer it was blank. I don't know what happened, but so I was like, oh, it takes a lot of energy to do these. And so I'm hoping and praying that God allow me to clearly communicate again. A lot of times when you just recorded something, then you feel like you've just said that, so you don't say it again. And anyway, it can mess your mind up. I thought I'd let you in on that little nugget of doing these type of things. But anyway, my dad's 90th birthday is what we're here celebrating. He was born in 1934. FDR was president. He had just passed the New Deal. Gold was $20 an ounce. And so many things have changed because of FDR. But since then in our country, it's a whole different world than the world he was born into. And that change has come one inch at a time, consistently, hour after hour, and day after day, and week after week. It slowly slid where America is not even recognizable anymore to what it once was. People talk about baggage a lot in life, and this is important to understand. What is baggage? Baggage, usually, I think when people are talking about it, is the things you carry into life or into marriage. Maybe troubles you had as a child that you never dealt with or whatever. And so you have this baggage, and it's looked at it as a very negative thing. And it is, because it's when you haven't dealt with something, you just carry it along. You're still hurt. You're still suffering. You're still, you know, not forgiving someone or whatever. And you have that with you in life. So it makes everything in life harder, because you've got this baggage you're carrying with you. So a wise person goes, no, I want to deal with all the issues of my life and get rid of that kind of baggage. I don't want to carry that along in life, because it's just going to damage everything that happens to me in the future. So, but I want to talk about a different kind of baggage, and I call it checked baggage. It's not a burden to you. You get to check it in, but it's something you're taking with you on your trip of life. What is that baggage, the checked baggage? It's all the things you've learned in your life, all the little nuggets of wisdom along the way, all the people you've talked to that taught you something you didn't know beforehand, all the mistakes you've made where you realize, I'm never doing that again. That is a disaster. and all the things you did the right way, and you look back and go, I'm so grateful I did that. All those things. I think we're so prone to go so quickly and put the gas on the accelerator and push it down and just keep going. We sometimes forget to check our baggage to take it with us, that kind of baggage, to bring the wisdom so we don't make the same mistake again. Bring the wisdom so we have something to say that is meaningful to those around us, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, our people at church. I'm just telling you, as I have traveled, and I've traveled a lot the last 14 years, I see the number one thing that is missing in our country, even in the Christian community, is wisdom and discernment. They don't have any checked baggage. They didn't bring anything with them on the trip. It's like they're learning everything the hard way, just like the world does. And it doesn't make any sense to me. I've been to people's homes that are good Christians, and I go, what's going on? Because I'll look at the shelf and see the type of movies they have, or look at the books on the shelf, or the music, or whatever it might be. And I'm like, how is there that much of a disconnect where we don't see, no, if you defile yourself, there's a consequence. If you numb yourself to people blaspheming God, there's a consequence. If you do things the way the world does it, there's a consequence. And it's like people see their life, it's crumbling, it's falling apart and not going well, but they don't identify the troubles, the problems, the things not turning out as expected with actions, with what they did or didn't do, how they guarded their heart or whatever it might be. And I say, so this is just so important, but it's so encouraging because in the book of James, it says, if any man lacks wisdom, he can ask of God and he will give it to him. I read that for the first time when I was 10 years old. And I remember perfectly as I was reading that, I thought, I think that means what it says. But I remember thinking that exact thought, which is kind of a funny thought. I think God means that. And I wrote in my Bible, God, make me wise. He said, if you ask, he will give. I want to be wise. And I am so grateful I did that. I've tried to pray that every day of my life since, and God, help me to be wise. Help me to be wise. And I think he has answered that prayer in so many ways. But I want to encourage you in that. That's something that you can do in any stage of life. You can be 90 years old and go, I want to be wise. God, help me. And you can start from that point, gathering the nuggets of wisdom and understanding and just a whole worldview of seeing things the way God sees them. And you put that in your checked baggage. They're not a burden, but they have priceless value on your journey. One of the key areas of life is manners. You have to have good manners in life to make it at all. If you don't, you're going to have a rough go of it. And so young people especially, but anybody, I think a lot of the young people haven't been raised with manners. A lot of you older people watching this, you were raised with manners. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Thank you. You're welcome. Can I get the door for you? God bless you. I mean, just kindness toward others. But it makes a huge difference in your life. I look over my life now, and I see just because my parents taught me those things, I have benefited tremendously. That simple thing. Every job I ever had, the person that was in charge said, you're the best employee we've ever had. You're so kind to the employees. You're so kind to people that come in here to eat. You're so kind. You're so thoughtful. You're respectful. Well, that's manners. And it's benefited me. But it also makes life wonderful. When you have good manners, it allows you to connect with people quickly. Because when you're kind, a lot of times it'll cause them to be kind back, and then you can build a relationship with them. One of the areas you've noticed this, whether you've thought about it or not, is Chick-fil-A. What makes Chick-fil-A different? It's the manners. My pleasure. Can you get me extra 5 ketchups and this and that? And my pleasure. That's the only answer. Well, that's manners. And they've taught that to their employees. So when you go in there, the experience is totally different. That's why they're the number one franchise of fast food in the world. Just that one thing. Of course, they have good food and other things too, but that is what has set them apart, where they're just so different. And it will do the same for you and your life as well. Another key thing I've observed is this. If you do what everyone else is doing, you'll get the product everyone else is getting. So many people don't get that. They are doing things the way the world's doing it. Education, finances, family relationships, marriage relationships. They're doing it the way the world says, this is how you do it. And they're getting what the world gets. We have the same divorce rates in the church as out of the church. We're losing just as many of our children in the church as out of the church, everything. It's like they're not seeing, you can't do what everybody else does and expect to get something different. You're not going to. And it's a key principle that overflows into business, education, family life, everything else. In another way of saying that same thing, which I love, is your system is perfectly designed to give you what you're getting. Think about that. Your system is perfectly designed to give you what you're getting. I love that because it tells you that's how the world really works. If your educational system is putting out dumbed down, ignorant people that can barely read and that are immoral, you realize whether I intended it that way or not, and of course they did, but even if they didn't, that's what this system is designed to do. Whatever you're getting out of your system is what it's designed to do, even if you didn't mean it that way. So if you don't have a happy, meaningful marriage, your marriage is perfectly designed to give you what you're getting. That means I need to change what I'm doing. We seem unwilling and unable to change to make things different. We just think we just keep doing the same thing over and over again and it'll turn out all right. Well, I've noticed in life that doesn't happen. So if you want a better marriage, you have to look at all the different ways you relate to each other, your habits. Do you go on a date once a week? Do you do this? Do you do that? And then realize our system is creating this kind of marriage. We're both not happy with it. We want this kind of marriage. So if we want this kind of marriage, we've got to change some of the variables to see if we can create a system that gives us that. And you can, but it takes work. But this, again, flows into every area of life. I'm working hard as I can in my business. It's just not making it. Your system is perfectly designed to give you what you're getting. You've designed a system there not to have a successful business. It's that simple. Well, I'm trying. I know trying doesn't mean anything. You have to know what you are doing. So I would say to someone in that situation, you need to find someone that knows what they're doing and have them analyze your system. And they'll say, you're not keeping the bathrooms clean, or you're not, really encouraging your employees while they're here, so they hate working here, or your food's no good. You need to get better food, or whatever it might be. But that's a key principle to life. Just know, however you're living your life is the system you've created to give you what you're getting. If you look at your life and you go, I love it, it's wonderful, then you should take note, what am I doing to make it right and wonderful and blessed and everything? And share that with others. And look for other people you can impart that wisdom to. But if it's not, if you look, yeah, it's just miserable and yeah, it never goes the right way. Never. That's what you've done. That's what you've set up those parameters to have that be the way your life turns out. And we have to take responsibility for that. Most people always want to blame it on somebody else. The world tells you it's not your fault. It's somebody else's. That's a lie. Everything's our fault. I mean, whatever, how we're living our life, it's our fault. We can change the way we're doing things, but it does take work. And a lot of people don't want to do that. I was a teacher for years, because I love young people and I wanted to influence them to go for the gold and have a meaningful, purposeful life. And we should all be doing that with the people around us, encouraging them just to step it up and do things with excellence and everything. And when I was a teacher, an older man gave me this poem, and I want to share it with you. It's so wonderful as an example of what we should strive to be like. It says this: I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather you walk with me than merely point the way. The eye is a more ready pupil than ever was the ear. Good advice is often confusing, but example is always clear. I remember when I heard that the first time, I go, God, that's what I want to be. I want to be that example that uplifts, encourages, builds up, especially these young people I was teaching. I want to, yeah, teach some math or whatever, but I want them to say when they're older, my life's different because of Mr. Bowers. I want to have that kind of influence on them. And it's by modeling the things that are good and right and true. It's easy to talk about them. It's easy for a parent to tell their kids, don't you be watching junk? And then they watch junk. Well, it's different. We're an adult. We can do that. No, it's a total lie. It's a scam. Don't do that in your life. Don't be inconsistent with the things you say are true and right and the things you do. We can't do that as Christians. Another vital aspect of life is choosing your friends. So vital. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. God tells us everything right there in the book of Proverbs. You have to pick your friends carefully. What is like them? If you are not both mutually benefiting and being built up and a better person because of that friendship, it is not a good friendship to have, period. Too many people as a ministry take on a troubled person. And what happens then? They go the way of the troubled person. The bad company corrupts good morals. It always, the bad corrupts the good. The good does not corrupt the bad. And God told us that clearly. So we can't do that. But I've seen that in life, people refusing to let go of people that are destroying them, that are causing them to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing. And, well, it's my friend. No, it's not your friend. A friend loveth at all times. If you are really to be a friend to someone or want to have a friend, it's someone that loves you enough to speak the truth. If they really love you, they don't want you doing something that's going to hurt you. They don't want you to have bad habits. They don't want you out late being somewhere you shouldn't be or whatever. The buddies that you did all that kind of stuff with in your life, they were not friends. What they were is misery. Most people have friends that are fit into two categories, ministry or misery. In the ministry, that's not a friend. You can minister to people, but you keep them at a distance because you realize, this person's going on a different road and a different direction than I am. I cannot walk with them. But while I'm here with them, I can try to encourage, build up, and show them the way. But if they choose to keep walking the wrong direction, I'll wave and say goodbye. I hope you'll one day listen. The other group that is so common is misery loves company. So it's people, they don't like doing bad things by themselves. So they're happy to be friendly to anyone that will join them in their misery because it's just funner that way, I guess. And so, but that's the two categories I've noticed most people, that's their friends. Well, and they've never really had a good friend. That is one of the deadly things I notice about social media. It's causing people to be connected to so many people they hardly even know. And then not being connected to anyone they really do know. Where they can tell, are they wise or are they fool? It's just this crowd all around you, but you're totally alone and you have no real friends. A real friend looks after you and corrects you. Hey, don't do that. You know, that'll get you into trouble or whatever. That's a friend, and most people don't have one, so they don't know what it is. But when you have one, they're so valuable. I had a friend like that, Brent Noble. His father is Dr. David Noble, which many of you might have heard of with Summit Ministries and Understanding the Times. He wrote a great book about the different worldviews and understanding what we believe as Christians. But all growing up, his son was one of my best friends, and he was a real friend. He died of diabetes several years back, but I miss him because he was the kind, when something good happened to me, he would be more excited about that than I was almost. And I thought, he really loves me. He would just, oh, it's the greatest thing. Man, I'm so glad that happened. You know, most people that are our friends, when something really good happens to you, a lot of times they're, man, I wish that would happen to me. You know, or, oh, yeah, I'm glad that happened. But he was sincere in that. I could tell he was just as excited about what happened to me as if it had happened to him. And I go, that's rare. And it is so rare over my life. I've seen that. So from some of that little advice there, make the hard decisions to pick wise friends and you will be blessed. Not having the courage to say no and cut unhealthy relationships will cause so much pain and suffering in your life. You won't believe it. I've talked to so many prisoners in the prisons here in Alabama when we've gone in there, and they say, I was hanging around the wrong people, so many of them. And I'm like, wow. And I tell them, when you get out, you cannot even let those people know you're out. You have to run, start a new life in a new community with a local church there that'll give you the accountability and stuff. You can't do that, or you'll be back in here in 6 weeks. And most of the time they are prisoners because they go right back to the old people. Another invaluable nugget is listening, being a good listener. You don't have to attend every argument you're invited to. That means be slow to speak. Don't be easily provoked. Quick to listen, slow to speak. And then when you do speak, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, learn to think before you speak. That will save you so much suffering in life in so many different ways. And learning to wait a day before making a big decision will save you so much suffering in life. I've just seen that over my life. Sometimes I've learned that the hard way, and other times the easy way. But you'll have far less regrets in life if you're slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to decide, to make a decision. I'm going to pray about that. I'll let you know tomorrow on everything that you do, and you'll be so glad that you did. On kind of a different subject, but very important, is don't buy into all the things that sound good. The things that, that are packaged to make you think, oh yeah, I want to go do that. Or I want to, if I have a brand new car, I'm going to be happy, like the commercial tells you, whatever. Don't be so quick to believe the lies on anything. And I'm getting ready to speak at a pastor's conference in a couple of weeks, and they want me to speak on communism. And I was thinking through, what's the fundamental of communism? I mean, to share with someone, what's the most fundamental thing? Here it is. Communism has never worked anywhere it has ever been tried. That's a historical, factual statement. That doesn't sound good. That is good because it's true. So when the communists try to sell, like they're selling to our young people in America, the idea of communism, it's fair, it's just. You'll have a utopia on earth. Everything will be equal. There'll be no poor people. There'll be no war. On and on. You go, yeah, that sounds really good. But we can't be so naive as to believe in what sounds good. We have to know the Bible, and we have to know history. So when someone rattles off some foolish chatter like that, we can say, communism has never worked anywhere it has ever been tried. Thank you. No, I'm not interested. But that's everything the world's selling you, young people and everybody. It's Satan. He's the father of lies. He's the master of deceit. There is no truth in him. It's always going to be coming at you in flowery words, in a pretty package with a big bow on it. It's going to be pleasing to the eyes always, otherwise it wouldn't sell. But underneath, it's poison. And so you go, oh, why did I open that package? It ended in death. And so I just want to encourage you that don't fall for things that sound good, but understand truth enough. You can identify the lies, and most of what is out there is a lie. And so we don't want to be falling for those. I've noticed purposeful decisions make a huge difference in your life. When you are purposely deciding instead of just going with the flow, when you're swimming upstream, when you're like, I know everybody's doing this, but we're not going to be doing this. That kind of thinking just makes a huge difference in your life. When I was growing up, my parents, we lived in a neighborhood. I was in the school system because everyone was back then. Homeschooling wasn't around yet. And so kids are gone all day long, every single day. And my parents realized we're never going to see our own kids if we don't make our home the funnest home in the neighborhood. Because what will happen is they'll come home from school, grab a snack, boom, and they're gone into the neighborhood. They'll come home just in time to do homework and go to bed, and we will never see them. We want to see them. We want to have influence on them. So my dad built a swimming pool. He put a basketball court in the front yard. He did so many things to make our home the funnest home. We had a ping pong table. We had all these different things. And he told me later, we did that because we wanted everyone hanging out at our house so we could observe what's going on, who your friends are, and make sure to help direct that in the way it should go. And I'm so thankful that they did, because I got all that time with my parents. But also, almost every child in our entire neighborhood got saved from the influence of my mother and my father. And that's pretty neat too, but that was a side benefit of being purposeful in parenting. Another aspect of being purposeful is getting out of your bubble so you can be used by God right where you are. Everybody always wants to do some big thing and they never have that opportunity, so they don't do anything. But I've seen God mainly uses us right where we are in the most unexpected situations to make a huge difference. Years ago, I was traveling because I just made the film Agenda, and I would get invited to speak at places all over, and I'd have to fly there, and I'd always take a few kids with me. And I told the kids, you know, being on a plane is really important opportunity where you have 2 hours with someone to share the gospel with them, because it's not an accident whoever God puts in the seat next to you. So you need to be faithful with that. If he purposely picked them to sit next to a Christian for 2 hours, you know he wants you to talk to them, even when you don't want to, even when you're tired, whatever. And we talked about that. And it was almost without exception. It was really funny. They would be sitting on the other aisle, across the aisle there, all three of them. And I'd be sitting on this aisle, and there'd be two empty seats next to me. And we just learned over time, whenever you see someone coming down the aisle that's troubled, that looks like, oh, they're a mess or whatever, they're going to sit next to me. And my kids, I remember looking over many times, looking over at them, they'd smile at me because we'd see somebody coming down the aisle and we're like, yep, yeah, they're going to sit next to me. And literally almost every single time that we looked and smiled, that person sat next to me. And I realized, no, God knew they needed someone to talk to them. And so I would. And one of the stories, and I just want to encourage you, it was so encouraging to me. And this is how God does things. There was about a 4'11" young lady with a 9-month-old baby, and she's coming down the aisle, and my daughters wink over at me. And I go, yes, of course she's sitting next to me with the baby. And of course she did. And so she gets, I get up and let her in. And this baby, it's so funny, she's a new mother, never babysat children, doesn't know anything about a baby, where I'm the father of nine, I have nine children, I'm having to tell her everything. She's getting ready to give the little boy the bottle. I go, you might want to wait a second until we start taking off so his ears won't, you know, start popping and stuff. Oh, okay, you know, every little thing. Well, God set this situation up, and I've learned this in life. A lot of times he gives you the opportunity to look good by being kind, by being loving, by being thoughtful, by being purposeful. But he does that not so you'll look good. It's so when you share the gospel, he looks good. And this was the case with this lady. I was literally out of my seat 10 to 15 times getting her stuff from the overhead because she was too short to reach up there. I held the baby almost the entire flight because every time she held the baby, it started crying. I'd hold it. It'd start smiling at me. And I'd be playing with it and stuff. And God did that because he's like, I'm giving you an opportunity to be different than the people she's been around normally. And so I realized this. Right early on, I was like, okay, God has given me the opportunity to do so many kind things for her cheerfully. Oh, sure, I'll get that for you. She had to go to the bathroom. Could you hold my baby? Oh, of course, and everything. And so I shared the gospel with her, and I went through the way of the master. And she grilled me for an hour and a half on Jesus, on the Bible. She'd never heard of any of that stuff. I mean, the most thoughtful questions I've ever had from anybody, and just kept hammering me. And the whole time I'm taking care of her sweet baby, and he loves me and he's being sweet. And it was just total connection. And then when we were done there, you know, I've gone backwards and forwards through everything. I said, I hope you'll really think about that. And she goes, I will. And I got all her stuff for her and gave it to her, and she went off. And then I told my kids all about what had happened. And I realized right then, oh my goodness, I should have given her my Bible. She doesn't even have a Bible. So we started looking for her in the airport for about an hour, and we finally found her. And she was on her phone, and as we came over to her, she looked at us, she saw who we were, and she got off the phone with the person, oh, I gotta go, and hung up. And then she came over to us. She goes, I was just talking to my husband, telling him about all the things you told me about Jesus. And my girls, from hearing that, went and gave her a hug. And she started bawling and just crying. And I said, here, I wanted to give you my Bible and everything. We had a nice talk with her. And I just thought, wow, God did all those things that could have been a huge inconvenience to me. But he said, no, I'm giving you the opportunity to you'll know they're Christians by their love. I'm giving you the opportunity to do that so that when you say Jesus is the answer for the world today, they'll go, I believe you, because I can see he's made a difference in your life. I have hundreds of stories like that that I love, but we need to take advantage of that. Anybody can do that. Anyone can be faithful in that, and we really need to be. Last story, I don't want to go on too long with this, but I just wanted to share some nuggets of truth with you and encourage you. If you're all the time just watching the news and gathering information, but you're not self-reflecting and identifying areas of your life you could do things differently and better and whatever, it's just kind of a waste of time. We're here to influence others, and the best way I've learned in life to influence others is by being different, by really being different. The music I listen to, the movies I watch, the books I read, the way I treat others or total strangers, really being different than that. Not just talking it, but doing it. And that light shines so bright, it's so powerful to people. Be willing to listen to someone that has problems. I could go on, there's a guy in Walmart one time, 3.5 hours I listened to him tell me his life story. And then I said, now you need to listen to me. And I shared the gospel with him, and it just changed his life. He was just so grateful. And anyway, it's just, we don't have the time because we've chosen to do what the world's doing by just running around with like a chicken with our head cut off when we're not here for that reason. But I want to tell you one last story and then I'll wrap up. This is the most purposeful story I've ever heard. And it's so encouraging to me. We need to get back like the old days where we're so thinking about the future generations. We're so thinking about our example and everything else. It's just pretty powerful. But over at Oxford University, they have a cafeteria there. And I believe it was built in 1379. And it's just a masterpiece of architecture. The wood beams are stunning. And when those people built that in 1379, they left a little box down in the basement with some instructions. And it was about 500 years later, somebody found that. A janitor had gone down into the basement. And inside there, with their note and everything, it said this: the beams in the cafeteria we've installed will probably only last about 500 years because beetles eventually get to oak and destroy it. But we realize this is going to happen, so we bought a piece of property, and here's a map to where that piece of property is located, and we've planted the right kind of oak trees there, so in 500 years, when those beams need to be replaced, there'll be the wood there for you to replace them. And they went and followed the map, found the property, cut down the trees, and redid the magnificent cafeteria at Oxford University. We don't even think a lot of times about tomorrow or next week at all, or planning what we're going to do and things, and we should. I love that story because it's such a good example of loving your neighbor. Well, they're going to need to do this. They might not be able to find 500-year-old oak trees then, so we're going to do that for them. We're going to think of the future. Think of the next generation. That's what our life should be about right now. That's why we're standing for the truth. That's why we're speaking the truth. That's why I'm traveling all over the country with my family when I'd rather sometimes just be home at peace and rest. But I go, no, that's not what I'm on this earth to do. And that's not what you're on this earth to do. We're here to shine our light into the darkness and to love our neighbors and to love people that are not lovable and to tell them why we are loving them. Because of Jesus Christ, that is why I'm loving you. And our verse for this week is a perfect verse for you to memorize because it talks about when you live that kind of purposeful life, here's what things are going to be like. It's Psalm 1, verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I wasted 32 years of my life doing things my way. And I look at my life since, I say, God, I'm all in. I want to do things your way. And that is the story of it right there. Of course, there's been troubles and problems, but he's been right there through all of them. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's strong, solid. He's not going to be swayed by any little breeze of some clever sounding thing that comes along. And it's going to bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. You're not going to dry up and die. God will not allow it because you're anchored into him. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Sometimes the things we do on this earth don't look prosperous. They don't look like, oh, that wasn't very successful. But God uses all of those to accomplish successfully whatever his purpose was in them when we are planted in him, when we are doing purposely the things he's asked us to do. I hope this wasn't too different or whatever than what we normally do, but I want you to be wise, because gathering all the information and news of the world, if you're not wise, really doesn't help you that much in the long run. But anyway, I hope you have a great week. Until next week, God bless you.
Welcome to Agenda Weekly. We invite you to join us for an overview of the news from a conservative Christian perspective. You may be familiar with a weekly video podcast from Curtis Bowers, but Agenda Weekly is much more than that. Every Friday, we provide a written summary of the most important news events from America and around the world. We don't just cover the bad news. We find the often overlooked encouraging stories, because we all need some good news. Additional resources include informative videos and articles to dig deeper, a featured hymn of the week, essential prayer points, and specific actions to take personally and in your community. For only $5 a month, less than a cup of coffee, you can subscribe to receive the most comprehensive news source available. Our goal is to save you time, expose the agenda behind the news, and equip you to make an impact right where you are. Subscribe today at agendaweekly.com.